Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And I'm so excited today because we've been doing this a long time. I mean, this is program 821. And yeah, long time, holy schmoly. And I'm talking to my guest about something I have zero knowledge about. So I love those type of programs because I always learn and it's so much fun. And so please join me in welcoming Ben Knegendorf to our program today. Welcome, Ben. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me. That's quite the intro.
Great, great. Well, speaking of intros, let me tell people a little bit about you and then we will jump into this. So Ben Knegendorf is the co-founder of Drop Ship Breakthrough, where they teach people just like you and me how to start an e-commerce business in the next 30 days. Now, Ben, I got to tell you, that's the shortest bio anybody has ever sent me. And I've had some that were a page long, at least. But what I love about that is that it gives us even more time to find out about you. And I always like to find out from my guests how they got into what they're doing today and how they discovered that this is your passion in life. So tell us more.
Yeah, I wanted to keep it short and sweet and kind of give a power statement, right? Like if you hear that you can start a real business in less than 30 days for less than $500.
Days. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. And for less than $500, right. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I back that up. But you're right. Understanding where someone started is helpful in understanding how to meet someone where they're at, right? So mm-hmm. listeners might hopefully relate to this or maybe they don't. I'm not sure. I came from a different place. I didn't come from corporate America, right? Mm-hmm. So in 2014-ish, mm-hmm. I was working at a Walmart distribution center. Mm-hmm. I had been there for 8-9 years driving mm-hmm. forklift, throwing heavy boxes, driving yard truck, mm-hmm. really doing every job in the building. Right. And the building had only been around 15 years. So mm-hmm. first shift was kind of the holy grail. Mm-hmm. And after 7-8 years of being there, I finally made it to first shift. Oh, and yeah, that's what I thought, right? I walk in and everyone was dead inside. Just they all looked miserable. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm 29. I've made it to first shift. Mm-hmm. I've, quote unquote, made it. Maybe I'll become a coach because we're all mm-hmm. a team there. Mm-hmm. But no one was happy. And I sure as hell was not happy either. And so I took a bathroom break that day and took a little note on my phone that just said, I have to get out of here. I have to begin setting goals, make a plan, mm-hmm. get out of here. This is clearly not my future. And that's kind of where it all began of me, realizing there had to be something.
And different. Writing it down made it real.
Yeah, I still have the note on my phone. I keep it there. I reference mm-hmm. it often. It's on my website. It's something mm-hmm. that means a lot to me. It was a mm-hmm. a pivot point in my life and, mm-hmm. and deciding to go explore. I didn't know what I was going to find. I had no idea what I was going to do, but I knew it wasn't what I was currently doing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So did you immediately get into drop shipping or what happened between, when you told Walmart bye-bye and where you are now?
Yeah, so I wish it was goodbye, right? It was a mental goodbye.
End one day, start one the next day. Woo!
Yeah, it was a mental goodbye for sure. Mm-hmm. But I still needed to work there to pay my bills, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know what to do. In the past, I had started like a clothing line. Don't ever start a clothing line. That didn't work out very well. And I really hadn't done anything else. And my dad was working at a warehouse and my mom was a CNA at the time. And wouldn't you know it, I was working at a warehouse and my wife was a CNA, right? I was living up to the bar that was set for me as a child. And so I didn't really know where to go, but I knew some friends who were flipping things on eBay, which is, you know, either go to garage sales or go to a clearance aisle, find some things that are underpriced, put them on eBay or Amazon, list them for more, and there's arbitrage to be had there. So I started doing that. I went to some garage sales in my little town and some little towns surrounding me, and, you know, I made a few bucks. It wasn't difficult by any means, and you can make easily a couple hundred dollars a week if you want to. But I knew that wasn't scalable. I knew that wasn't something I could continue doing forever. And so
And at some point your family was going to say, we need to eat.
Well, again, I was still working full time. So I was actually like $40,000 in consumer debt at the time with my wife. We had made a lot of poor decisions. And so I needed to keep working this job and, you know, trying to make a side hustle work. But I knew that, again, this wasn't going to be scalable. This wasn't something I could continue to do forever. And so I just kept, you know, listening to as many podcasts as I could. And somewhere in there, I stumbled across the business model that I now teach, high ticket dropshipping. And once I understood the ins and outs of it, which I'm happy to break down for you throughout this show, I understood that it was a real business, that I was building something sellable. I think when somebody compared it to Wayfair and they were like, this is what Wayfair used to be, they had 100 stores and then they combined into one store called Wayfair. I was like, oh, this makes sense. And this is sellable and you can sell it for a multiple and there's profit to be made and there's credit card rewards so I could fly and travel all I wanted to. And so it was very appealing to me. And you know, of course, rather than jump right in, I spent way too long analyzing this and having analysis paralysis. And the course creator that I found raised his prices. I thought it was a marketing gimmick. I was still trying to learn, but he actually raised his prices. And shortly after that, he ran a sale, which was just under $1,000. And a magic credit card showed up. When you're $40,000 in debt, you don't get many credit cards. And when you do, they have like a 30% APR and a $1,000 credit limit. Well, one showed up that day.
And you went, okay.
I looked at my wife and I said, I need to take this chance. And if I fail, I'll go back to school. I've always been pretty smart. I've just never really tried in life. And I said, I'm going to give this a shot. And that's the day, January 11th, 2015. I'll remember that day forever. I bought a course to learn this business model. And that's where everything got started.
I love it. You know, and I think one of the biggest things that that shows is sometimes you just have to take that leap of faith. You know, and you mentioned analysis or paralysis by analysis, and that's really one of the big things. It stops people from starting their own business, no matter what it is. You know, we want it to be perfect. And of course, if it's going to be perfect, it's never going to get launched, right?
Yeah, I think throughout this story, you'll see that mindset has been pivotal for me. And that's just one point of like, you got to go. You got to. You have to start doing something and break through the fears of the what ifs. The what if I fail? What if this doesn't work? What if, and it, you know, I think I had learned enough to that point to realize that I could do this. That it was possible. I think I was worried that like the best marketers in the world give everything away for free. You're going to hear me literally give this business model away for free today. And I thought, I won't learn anything if I buy this course. I was wrong, right? Like I actually, you know, I needed to look over someone's shoulder and watch them do this, not just hear them on a podcast. So I'm glad I took that first step. And that first step led to me ending up building and selling my first business in 1 year, right? And so about 1 year in, I had sold my first business. It was the3dprinterguy.com. It's gone now, but you can find it on Wayback Machine. The people I sold it to ran it into the ground, unfortunately, but like I sold that for 1 year's pay. Which might not sound like a lot to a lot of people.
Like you said, you had that credit card debt.
Yeah, it sure was a lot to me to sell it for $40,000. That was a big day for me. I remember that seeing the notification on my forklift when I shouldn't have been looking at my phone and seeing that my business sold. I drove right to the front of the building and I just said, I'm leaving today. And I left and I didn't quit, but I left that day. I was done. Like I needed to go out and celebrate this. And still to this day, that might be one of my favorite days in the entire of entirety of my career doing this. So
right, because you were validated. What you were doing mattered and counted and somebody else valued it.
And honestly, that happened on the first sale. Like if you've never sold anything online, I would encourage you just go sell something online. The moment you get paid, well, you're not punching a clock or you're not doing anything and money's coming in is a great day. I specifically remember mine. It was midnight on a Sunday night. I needed to work at 4 a.m. And I was still awake at midnight. Shouldn't have been. And sale came in. I sold a 3D printer to Duke University. And I remember butt naked running into the living room and dancing and just jumping up and down. Like, it was an amazing moment. My wife thought I was crazy, but you know, I thought it was a really good day. And so between, you know, your first sale or selling your first business or all of the first, It's enough to open your mind to what else is possible. Again, I was working in a warehouse. My wife is a CNA. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was anything else possible. And so mm-hmm. to have those moments really opened my eyes.
Right, right. So at what point did you decide this is not going to be a side gig anymore and really give your notice?
Yeah, so it's funny you asked that. Again, I was making about 40K a year. This is pre the mega inflation. That was a decent wage in mm-hmm. my small little town.
Right.
And I sold my business for 40K. So I was riding pretty high. Mm-hmm. I thought, I can do anything. Maybe I should quit my job. And I brought it up to my boss and they were like, hey, how about you go from 4 days a week down to 2 days a week and keep your insurance, which is a big deal here in America mm-hmm. to have your insurance.
Right. And your CNA wife said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was all for that. And so I said, yeah, that sounds great. But it didn't take long for me working 2 days a week and not really caring to become the worst employee that was there.
Right. What do they call it? You quit before you quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely had a foot out the door. I said some things that probably needed to be said, but you don't say them in the workplace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And one day they walked up to me and and I'll remember this forever. They looked at me and they said, it looks like you're having more fun doing that cute little internet thing anyway. Mm-hmm. Why don't you hit the road?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that guy's face with the air quotes saying cute little internet thing.
He really did say that.
He definitely said mm-hmm. that. And then I left and I drove to my mom's ashes are in a lake nearby here. And I go there often to kind of meditate and just relax. Mm-hmm. And I went there to talk to my mom. Mm-hmm. And for some reason there was no pain. Mm. I had this confidence that I can do this.
Right.
This was happening for me, not to mm-hmm. me.
Right.
And it was time to go. And so mm-hmm. While that day, part of it sucked, mm-hmm. definitely hearing him say that cute little internet thing.
Yeah, and nobody likes to be told you're leaving. Even if sure. you were like yippee skippy,
yeah.
still it was like, well, they didn't love me.
But I felt confident knowing that, it was almost as if they, shoved me in the water, but I had a life jacket on. It was just, right. I was ready to go on mm-hmm. my own. I was definitely nervous, but I was mm-hmm. ready to go. And so that's how my tenure at Walmart ended. I made it about a year and a half after actually starting a side hustle. And so
right.
hopefully that gives some context to anyone mm-hmm. thinking, I'm going to start something tomorrow mm-hmm. and I'm going to make $1 million and I'm going right. to quit right away. Right. It's not possible, right? You got to put in the hours.
Well, and a lot of times those side gigs, and some people keep them forever, just as a side gig, but I basically did the same thing with my company, and it's been about 20 years, and I was working full time and started my company, Wise Women Communications, and just did it on the side, evenings, weekends. Hey, this is kind of to bring in some extra money. And I talked with a business consultant who gave me lots of great advice. But I remember one of the things she told me is I had jumped off that diving board, but then I turned around and grabbed it. And she said, until somebody either stomps on my fingers or until I let go, she told me I was never going to make it a real business. It was always going to be almost like a hobby that made money. And I remember, and for me, it was really hard because the company that I worked for, I really liked what we did. And I liked the people that I worked with. Telling them I was leaving was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do because I so enjoyed what we were doing. And like I said, I really liked them, but I also thought, I need to do for me. And so I let go of that diving board and luckily it didn't hit me in the face or do anything like that. But yeah, sometimes you're right. It takes a push from somebody else to know it's time.
Well, and the reality is, I believe Henry Ford said this, that whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you're right. And so it all comes down to your belief system. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe it's possible, if you don't believe you can make it without failing, if you don't believe you can execute upon this and look silly in front of your friends and family who are definitely going to be, crabs in the pot pulling you back down, mm-hmm. you're never going to do it. Right. And
right.
so I'm not sure I would have ever quit unless the money was really rolling in. So I am thankful that day mm-hmm. that they, gave me the boot and told me
right.
to go home.
Right. And you mentioned friends and family. It's always interesting when you start a new business, whether it's full-time or a side gig type of thing, there's lots of naysayers, right? Why would you want to do, Ben, why would you want to, you should keep your job, all of those things. And they all do it meaning well, they want to protect you from that big, bad business world and all of those things. And at some point you just have to say, okay, enough, sink or swim, I'm going to do this. And I need your support or I need you to shut up.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it means well. I think they're stuck in their loop of safety. Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do it. So you shouldn't right. be able to do it either.
When you say, that sounds scary to them. That threatens their safety, and they don't want that for someone that they care a lot about. But it ends up being crabs in a pot, which, again, if you boil a bunch of crabs, they're all trying to get out, and then they pull
each other back in.
Right, and they pull each other back in so that no one can escape. And yeah, it's hard. And you, you know, you have status, and there's a lot of needs inside of a human that get trampled on as you decide I'm gonna take a chance and go out of safety. We were all in these caves in these tribes, and we had to watch out for tigers and go find our own food. None of that's true anymore, right?
And you stayed with those people in that cave, you know. If you went out on your own, you frequently were eaten.
We still have these like monkey brains that need safety, right? When we food is abundant and safety is abundant, and we live in the greatest time that's ever existed, whether the news wants to make you believe that or not, it's true. The safest time that's ever existed. And so take a chance on yourself.
You know, and it the worst thing, you know, is going to be that it doesn't work, you know. And as long as you haven't lost your house, you know, and so there's, you know, things that financially you should be doing and all of those things, or that somebody gets hurt, I mean, which is probably not going to happen depending on what you're doing, you can recover from it, even if it means that you go back into working for somebody else. But you've got to take that chance, especially if you're thinking, well, I know I can do this. I know I can do this.
And you're probably, like, a business probably is going to fail. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. Businesses do fail. Entrepreneurs don't fail, right? The only time the journey's over is when you quit. And so like your first idea might not work. Your second idea might not work. You're going to pivot a bunch of times. You're going to have a lot of mistakes. You're going to lose some money here and there. But like the entrepreneur doesn't fail again. The businesses fail. And so the moment you can separate the two and realize you're going to keep going and maybe your first idea wasn't great or your third idea wasn't, just keep going. You're gonna make it work. You're gonna learn. If a child hopped on their bike and you took the training wheels off and they fell over the first time and they were like, "Well, that didn't work. The person who sells bicycles is a scam. I'm never doing that again." That would be pretty silly, right?
So, but kids get up and they dust themselves off and put on a Band-Aid or two, and away they go.
Yeah, and they might cry a little bit, right? They might sulk, and they might it might take a few days or a week, but they keep trying. And you should too.
And they learned. They were like, "Oh, okay. You know, don't go down the big hill the first thing," or something like, you know, they really did. They learn from what they did wrong in order to make it work right. And that's, of course, what we all need to do from even if we're in successful business. You know, it's not going to be 100% successful all the time. You know, we might pick a product that doesn't sell or a service that doesn't go, okay, why didn't it? And then go forward.
Yeah. So I'd love to like bring you back to there of where they told me to leave, right? Because this is a good turning point in my life where I got to make some of these decisions. I got to go. Right. I'd already been successful. But
with these little air quotes.
Believe me, once you're successful, you start asking, oh, shit, was that a one-time thing? Am I going to be able to do this again? You know, I went hard. I started documenting my journey. I put out a podcast. I started affiliate marketing, the course I was part of. Somewhere in that journey, I had some people reach out because they were like listening to my podcast, and they were like, "Hey, how about we all form a mastermind together?" And so there's supposed to be four of us on the call. Two people didn't show up, and the one who did was selling composting toilets. And Ben has an idea brain like none other. I can give you about 50 ideas for your business, no matter what it is. And so I was like, "Hey, why are you selling one product when you could sell all the products that exist inside a tiny home?" He told me he was selling to a lot of tiny homeowners. He gave me half his business on the spot and said, "Let's go do your idea." And so we did that. We turned it into shoptinyhouses.com. We scaled that business 5 to 10x in about a year. And then he bought me out of that business. And that was just like yet another win. That was enough to get me out of debt. But as the universe does, or as life does, it came with a slap in the face. I told my wife, "Hey, I'm exiting this business. We're out of debt." And she asked me for a divorce.
Oh, no.
While I'm riding this high in my life, you know, adversity showed its face, and I once again had a decision. Hey, where am I going to go with this? Am I going to let, you know, life dictate me, or am I going to dictate my life?
Right.
So go ahead.
You know, and clearly you moved forward.
Yeah. Well, so I'm of the belief everything always works out, right? So to go back to your point of like, maybe you fail, get back on your feet. How long is it going to take you to get back to reality? Everything always works out. In hindsight, it always, and the one time it doesn't work out is the one time it's over. And so like, it's always going to work out until then. And so, you know, that sucked. It wasn't a good day. I paid off all the debt. I did the right thing on the way out the door. But right around there, I had been doing some consulting on the side. Mm-hmm. I consulted a couple gentlemen to $250,000 in sales in their first three months. Mm-hmm. They had hit $1 million for the first year, and that coincided with my wife leaving, and they mm-hmm. were like, hey, how would you like to come on board and scale this? And I thought, what better time than the present to dive deep into a new project? Mm-hmm. And so I joined them. I took 20% of the company, and we went $1 million to $11 million in 2 years. And once again, they bought me out of that business. Mm-hmm. They bought me out the week before COVID hit, which this is a product you would use indoors, and it's a hobby. And so they went, you know, they went to 11 to 35 or 50 or somewhere around there. And so either way, I had a wonderful, wonderful seven-figure victory out of that one, which really changed my life. And that was kind of the moment I started looking around and realizing I need to share this with the world. Like e-commerce truly changed my life. I was only 4 or 5 years away from, you know, driving a forklift every day and hating going to work every day. And now here I am. And I knew I had to teach this business model.
Right. So let's do some of the basics, because like I said, I know nothing about this. So what is drop shipping?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. So if you've ever heard of drop shipping, it is likely because some young, we'll call, you know, 19, 20, 21 year old air quote guru is standing next to the rented Lambo they have telling you that they just put up a store and they made $1 million revenue. And they're, you know, living the high life because of drop shipping. And I'm here to tell you that that is just a bunch of crap. There is a lot of BS online, and what they're doing in that business model specifically of, again, drop shipping is just a method of fulfillment. It is simply someone fulfilling the order on your behalf. So I want to separate drop shipping from what each person talking about is saying, right? So this specifically is AliExpress drop shipping. AliExpress is a website in China where you can buy literally anything in the world that you can think of. Everything's made in China, by the way. And so these folks are putting up a website, running social media ads to show you how cool this little widget is. You buy it on their really janky website, and it ships to you
from
China.
And we've all gone to sites like that and bought stuff, right?
We, we all have, yes. And it ships, probably arrives 40 days later in a heavily taped box that smells like a factory. The product is terrible, and you're left wondering, first off, where did I even order this? I don't really remember ordering this.
Yeah, you get this box and you're like, yay? Yeah.
And it's they're terrible products, realistically. So that is,
and there's no company to go back to complain.
Correct. And if you go back there, it's like jimbob@gmail.com. And you're like, really? Gmail? Yeah, there's no phone number? Yeah. So this is, that is AliExpress dropshipping, low-ticket dropshipping, turn-and-burn dropshipping. This is not what I recommend, nor what we teach. But it is pretty prominent if you go search dropshipping on YouTube or on TikTok or anywhere else. You're going to find a lot of this. So what John and I teach is selling high-ticket products that you've already heard of. So again, I was part of the 3DPrinterGuy.com, PelletGrillPros.com, ShopTinyHouses.com, StandingDestination.com, many sites selling products that you're interested in that meet our price point, and I'll explain why, and from brands you've heard of, like brands that exist in the American ecosphere. They're shipping from American brands. They're shipping from American warehouses. They're to your door in a few days. And we do this because no one wants to get crappy products, right? But it's just easier to sell. It's just as easy to sell a high ticket product as it is a low ticket product. The difference is in like the marketing. So on a low ticket product, you're running social media ads, right? You're
because you want to hit as many people as possible.
Yeah, and you want to. It's like interruption marketing, right? So if you go on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, any of those right now and start scrolling, you'll see grandma's dinner. You'll see your best friend.
Every other post is a paid ad. It seems like.
And then you'll get the, you know, those two posts you're expecting and then interjected with a, you know, again, an ad for probably a terrible product. This is demand generation. They have to get you interested. They have to stop you what you're doing, interrupt you and say, please come look at this cool thing and hope that you buy. Whereas what we teach is we're selling high ticket products from brands you've already heard of. People are already searching for standing desks. People are already searching for, I'm sitting at an Apex standing desk currently. People are already searching for Apex standing desk, Apex 60 or 72, whichever one I'm sitting at. And so we go and use Google ads rather than social media ads. We go capture the demand rather than
the people who are specifically looking for it. So the push as opposed to the pull, or the pull as opposed to the push. Which one did I do? But you're giving, they're looking for it and you're there as opposed to flinging it at them.
Correct. And so the reason that we do high ticket to touch back on there. First off, let's address what high ticket is. Low ticket is, we'll call it 0 to 200, 250 maybe. There's kind of a no man's land of like 250, 300 to I'll say 600, 700, 800. And then 800 above is where John and I, John's my business partner on Dropship Breakthrough, where we would specify a high ticket. I actually like even higher price points than that. And it's just as easy, believe it or not, it's just as easy to sell a $3,000 product as it is to sell a $30 product.
Because they were looking for the $3,000 product.
Correct. And they may only be problem aware. They might be problem aware or solution aware or product aware, right? Like they might just be problem aware and you can still capture them and work them down to the product that actually solves their problem. But honestly, it's just as, it really is just as easy. If you can get qualified traffic to the page, it's just as easy to sell a $3,000 product as a $30. But like, listen to these numbers, Deb. So if I want to make $30,000 in revenue next month, if I sell a $30 product, I need to sell 1,000 items.
Right.
If I sell a $3,000 product, I need to sell 10. So 10 orders versus 1,000 orders, I'm going to need less employees. I'm going to have less damages and returns. I'm going to have less overhead. And all of this is to say, like, you can run this remotely up to probably up to $1 million or a little higher by yourself or with a couple of VAs. And you can start all of this for less than $500. So where in any other business model can you say you can start for less than 500, right? I would say franchises seem to be popular, but you're going to need to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to start a franchise.
Or sign loans for that, you know, agreements.
If you wanted to launch your own brand of physical products, you're going to have to do research. You're going to have to get samples. You're going to have to place probably $5,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 order and then hope that you can interrupt some people in their newsfeed or put them on Amazon and sell products.
Right.
I prefer to focus on cash flow, which is why dropshipping makes sense. I'm not paying for anything until I actually sell it to you. So my expenses up front are as follows. I'd love to walk through it. Like, you need a domain, right? You need debsecommercebusiness.com. That's $12. You're going to need to use Shopify to host your store. Shopify is the platform we recommend. And honestly, there's a few others, but only use Shopify if you're doing this. It's about $29 a month. You might want a paid theme just to make it look even more incredible. You don't need
especially if you're asking people for quite a bit of money. They want it to look professional. Otherwise, they're going to go,
And even the free themes work. I started the 3D printer guy with a free theme. It works. If you want to buy a theme, it's going to be anywhere from $180 to $400, depending on which theme you buy.
Plus, it's easier.
Quick plug, because you told me to. If you do join our course, we give you a free paid theme. There's one that we like a lot called Superstore from Out of the Sandbox. We give you that for free to every new course member so that you have a paid theme. So you don't need to buy one. If you do, it's $180 to $400. You're going to need Google Workspace. And the reason you need this is so that you don't have joebagatdonuts@gmail.com in your footer. You have Deb or info or support at debsecommercestore.com.
Again, you're a professional business.
We're building a real business here, yes.
I love the people that still are AOL.com. I'm like, really?
It's you definitely want to have your name at your business or support at your. It just looks so much more professional, and it's $12 a month. It's a no-brainer. Plus, you're gonna utilize Google for everything. So this just like builds your home for all of your Google Docs and your Gmail and everything you need. After that, you're going to need an 800 phone number to, again, you're a professional business. So you don't want to just have some cell phone number up in the corner. You're going to want an 800 phone number. You can get those quite easily through a service called Grasshopper. That is roughly $40 a month to have your own 800 or toll-free number of any sort. There's a bunch of different 800 numbers nowadays. Man, that dates me to think there was only 800 numbers at one point. But you're going to have your own. It's toll free. It forwards to your cell phone or to your Mac or wherever you're going to take phone calls. And yes, you're going to have to take phone calls in your business, but that's $40 a month. You're probably going to want some branding done, a logo for your business, some homepage images, things like that, carousel images, maybe $25 on Fiverr, maybe $50, somewhere around there.
Oh yeah. Love Fiverr.
Love Fiverr. And then your biggest expense is going to be Google Ads. That's where you're going to go acquire your traffic early on. So Google likes to give coupons that are spend $150, get $150, or spend $500, get $500. Either way, take them up on their offer. And either one of those, you should make a sale or multiple sales if you follow a proven marketing system on how to set up your Google Ads. And then at that point, it's all cash flow, right? If you can spend $150 and get $150, so now you have $300 to play with. And you make a sale, and on that sale, you sold a $3,000 item with 20% margins. You now made $600. Now you can spend push that $600 back.
You just keep it going.
Correct. there is no like overhead. That's it. Everything mm-hmm. I outlined there is your monthly expenses and mm-hmm. your startup expenses. The rest is your sweat equity. Mm-hmm. So if you're willing to put in the time, if you're willing to do the research on your niche or your market or whatever you want to call it, if you're willing to go find the suppliers and make the phone calls mm-hmm. and upload the products and run your Google ads, like it's, mm-hmm. it is work. Every business is mm-hmm. work. You can do the rest for less than $500 mm-hmm. as I've shown here.
Right. So, you know, walk me through this. You know, how do you, first of all, how do you decide I'm going to sell product X, and then how do you get it? And then what's the process? I mean, are they all, you know, you get 10 and they're stored in your garage, or, you know, how does this work?
Yeah. I love that you want to break this down. All right. So you have to choose a market.
Okay.
John and I steer away from choosing products. I think too many people online when they're teaching physical product mm-hmm. businesses are telling you, go find a hot product, go find mm-hmm. the trending item or mm-hmm. things that are popular. We don't agree with that whatsoever.
Right. Because they're only going to trend or be popular for so long.
That, and we, as marketers, we often focus on the numbers, right? Mm-hmm. In e-commerce, a typical conversion rate is 2%. That means mm-hmm. 2 people out of 100 people who come to your website are going to buy. Mm-hmm. But those other 98 people raised their hand and said, mm-hmm. I like what you're offering. Right. I'm interested in this. Mm-hmm. And you didn't solve my problem.
Right.
And
I didn't want that.
You just let them walk away, right? Mm-hmm. And so we often forget that those numbers on the screen are people. Every single one of those little ticks on your analytics is mm-hmm. someone behind the screen. It's you and I. We're looking at our phones. We're searching mm-hmm. things. And so John and I like to focus on the human, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than focus on the products you're going to sell, mm-hmm. go think about the person that you want to serve, the person that you understand mm-hmm. at a deep level, that you want to mm-hmm. talk to every day, that you want to handle with customer service. And believe mm-hmm. me, there's some people you don't want to talk to every right. day. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can think of people in your life that you're like, you don't vibe with. Mm-hmm. Don't sell products that those people are going to buy, or you're mm-hmm. going to have to deal with them every day.
Right.
Now, I'll be the first to admit I've made this mistake. I bought a business where the numbers looked really intriguing mm-hmm. and it was selling to older folks mm-hmm. with very little money. Mm. And I promise you that is not an audience you want to serve. Right. It was difficult. It was, mm-hmm. there was a lot of complaints. There was a lot of handholding. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of chargebacks, which are mm-hmm. an absolute nightmare. And so think about the human. This is where it all starts for me. Think about who the person is you want to serve. Mm-hmm. John and I differ a little bit on how to choose this. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think you should pick you. What are you interested in? Because the internet is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. Whether you're into standing desks or ergonomics or mm-hmm. underwater basket weaving, whatever mm-hmm. it is, or baseball, which is mm-hmm. my thing, there's people out there just like you, and the internet mm-hmm. has made it very easy for you to congregate.
And you know what the message should be to you.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You understand the language they use. You understand mm-hmm. the problems they have. You understand how to write a headline. You understand mm-hmm. how to speak directly to that person. And so that's where John and I start. Find the person. And then from the person, you can understand the products that they purchase and kind of define mm-hmm. a market. And so if you pick just products, you end up siloing yourself like I did. I own mm-hmm. PelletGrillPros.com and I sold mm-hmm. pellet grills. How do I expand from PelletGrillPros.com when I own a site that says pellet grills in it?
Right. And, yeah. Like, you just, you can't. Mm-hmm. Or you can, but then it gets complicated because you've got multiple sites. And
if you go look at some of the competitors I had, Barbecue Guys is a good example. Mm-hmm. That was a way to step out and understand that
they sold several different manufacturers.
They understood that, like, you, if you sell to a person who uses a pellet grill, he probably also uses a gas grill. He also mm-hmm. buys all sorts of other things that he mm-hmm. likes to do for cooking, for preparing mm-hmm. foods, for entertaining.
Right.
And so if you can serve that person, mm-hmm. then you're going to be able to sell much more products mm-hmm. and solve a lot more problems for that person. Right. So once you solve the person, once you understand the products, and we often like to use infrared saunas as our example, mm-hmm. you're simply going to Google and typing in infrared sauna and then mm-hmm. click the little shopping tab. And on the left, it'll give you all the stores that are selling this and all the mm-hmm. brands that are selling this. Mm-hmm. If you can decipher between the stores and the brands by simply clicking through them and seeing whether it's mm-hmm. a brand or not, I'll put all the brands into a list. That's exactly who you're going to reach out to. Mm-hmm. You're going to sell for the brands that are out there. Just like Home Depot or Lowe's or Costco mm-hmm. or Walmart is selling brands, you are also going to sell brands. Mm-hmm. So to tie you back to the beginning where we mentioned Wayfair and what that looked like, Wayfair used to be 100+ different high ticket dropshipping businesses, all mm-hmm. in different niches and different markets. And then they combined them all and started Wayfair.com. So if you mm-hmm. go to Wayfair and you actually like click the drop down menus or look through there, all of those used to be their own stores, like a bar stool store mm-hmm. or a bedding store, things like that. Mm-hmm. And now it's all combined into one. And so this is the exact same thing I'm suggesting for you, is to mm-hmm. serve one market and build a store like that, where you're becoming a retailer for brands everyone's already heard mm-hmm. of.
Right. So, you know, let's use the grill as an example. You decide you want to offer a Weber grill. So you contact Weber and say, hey, we want to sell your product.
Yeah, Weber's a good example, because there are some brands who they only do direct to consumer, or okay. they only work with the big guys. And so right. you're going to get some no's. Mm-hmm. I want you to get as many yeses as possible, but there mm-hmm. are some brands that just don't work with other mm-hmm. retailers. But yes, you're right. You would go to Weber or Green Mountain Grills or any of the big names out there in that mm-hmm. space, and you would go to their website. Mm-hmm. Some brands already have a dealer application mm-hmm. built into their website.
Right. Just like some say become an affiliate, they're going to say right. become a dealer.
Correct. Okay. And so whether the form's there or not, if it's there, fill it out. Either way, you're calling right after this mm-hmm. and because you want to talk to somebody. You want right. them to realize that you aren't – like they're getting multiple calls mm-hmm. a day from right. the guy.
And who you're just not just going through and hitting 20 different websites.
But as I stated earlier, there's a lot of gurus on TikTok, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And so people are calling because they just watched a TikTok and they're trying mm-hmm. – but they want to sell on eBay or Amazon. They don't understand, right? And so mm-hmm. you have to separate yourself. And so John and I actually recommend you building a website first
right.
and uploading a couple products. Mm-hmm. And then
because again, that makes you real.
Correct. And then call that brand and say, hey, mm-hmm. I'm building this website. Mm-hmm. I'm giving this a real go. I put a couple of your products on there because I want you to see how I might represent you mm-hmm. online. That already differentiates you from all mm-hmm. of the other people who called that day. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, let them know, hey, I'd like to become a retailer for your brand. What does that look like? And mm-hmm. typically, again, you're not going to land them all, but you're going to land a lot. And they're mm-hmm. going to work with you on, here's how we like to receive orders. Here's mm-hmm. how we want us positioned online. Here's words mm-hmm. you can advertise on. Here's words you can't advertise on. Mm-hmm. And at that point, hopefully you've gotten quite a few brands online mm-hmm. Or on board, and you've signed mm-hmm. the paperwork. And at that point you have to do a lot of work. Like you have mm-hmm. to upload all of the products into Shopify. You have to build collections. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to build
information. You have to figure out the pricing so you're actually making money.
Yes. So the beauty of high ticket dropshipping and the beauty of honestly being in America is something called MAP pricing, minimum advertised pricing. So a lot of other places in the world, you can list a product for whatever you want to. It is illegal to have MAP pricing. In America, brands can set their minimum advertised price and no one can go below. So now okay. that evens the playing field. So if mm-hmm. Deb created a pellet grill site and I created a pellet grill site and we're listing Traeger's and it's a $700 grill, I can't list at $699 to jump in front of her and steal mm-hmm. that sale. We all have to be listed at the same price or higher. Mm-hmm. Then it turns into like, how can we, once we get someone to our website, how can mm-hmm. we give them more information, right. solve more problems right. and close the sale that mm-hmm. way rather than this long race to the bottom, mm-hmm. which could be price.
Right. So then, you know, so you've got the deal with the grill and you've got it on your website. So then the order comes to you and then you go to the company and then it ships. How does that work?
Correct. So first you're going to run some Google ads, right? You need to acquire mm-hmm. that traffic. I would recommend, it's called the priority funnel. It's very, very, very too difficult to explain on a podcast. Mm-hmm. We do the best on our show, Dropship Podcast. We kind of break mm-hmm. this down a little bit better. But once you've acquired that traffic, let's assume you got the right traffic, you converted a sale, now what, right? So mm-hmm. the first thing you need to do is take the order from your inbox and mm-hmm. either email that to your supplier, depending on what they're asking for, or right. some mm-hmm. suppliers have portals where you can go mm-hmm. place the order. Others just have a Shopify store and they give mm-hmm. you a special discount for your business and mm-hmm. you go place the order on their site. So we're mm-hmm. handing over the information to, again, we'll use Traeger. We're handing the information over to mm-hmm. Traeger, who is then packaging up the order, slapping mm-hmm. our label on there. That's mm-hmm. called blind drop shipping. Mm-hmm. And they ship the grill off to, you know, Deb's number one customer, mm-hmm. right? And it shows up saying Deb's e-commerce store on there. Mm-hmm. The customer is none the wiser. In fact, this is how about half of the internet right. still works today.
And I'm thinking, you had all those in your garage?
Yeah, correct. And so I didn't pay for anything, right? In that whole mm-hmm. process, you didn't hear anything other than the customer gave me $700. Mm-hmm. I went to Traeger and placed the order. They charged mm-hmm. my credit card $450 mm-hmm. And some shipping, so maybe $500. And then now I have $200 in arbitrage there mm-hmm. that is my profit as the business owner. Mm-hmm. But I didn't pay for anything until I actually sold the unit. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm a big fan of dropshipping being a great starting place right. for anyone, is you just don't need capital. Mm-hmm. You need
sweat. Yeah, you're not buying inventory to start.
Correct. But you're putting in the sweat equity, right? You're doing mm-hmm. a lot of work in the beginning. That's the trade-off.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and obviously one of the things that I was thinking about is that, you know, you need to have really done your research. You know, not only is this a good product, but is it a good company? You know, because you don't want to sell something that is not good quality, or, you know, from a company that's going to go under, you know, and so that's where you're going to do your due diligence to at the very start.
Yeah, there's a free training on our website that kind of walks you through this. If you go to dropshipbreakthrough.com, that's THRU. I believe we bought the other version too, but dropshipbreakthrough.com. There's a free training right at the top, and it'll actually walk you through this process of, all right, how do I identify what the right market is? How do I go find the suppliers in that? How do I get this process started? Right. So if you're kind of confused on what we just talked about, go watch the free training, and John will walk you through the whole process.
Cool. Yeah, and we talk about on this podcast a lot, finding your target market. You know, and I always love it when I go somewhere and, you know, I'm talking to somebody and I say, so Ben, tell me who your target market is. And you smile and you go, everyone. No, I don't think there's probably a product in the world that anyone would buy. You know, because there's, you know, people, you know, it's like Walmart. Walmart is not for everyone. You know, Starbucks is not for everyone. All of these, so they know who their target audience is. And you know, that's where it's great to think of, you know, yourself as being that target market. What messages resonate with you? You know, or, you know, and so figure that out. And people are always like, well, but that's so limiting. Well, yeah, but you're getting the right people to start with. You know, and so, you know, why spend, especially if you're, you know, spending a lot of money on advertising, you want it to go to the right place. You don't want, you know, 7,000 people to see it who could care less. You want 7 people who are going to buy to see it. You know, and that's where, and of course, you know, Google and any of the online advertisers, they want you to keep advertising. So they're going to help you with that. You know, but yeah, it's, you absolutely have to figure out who you're marketing to before you really start doing this.
100%. And look, I believe you should find something you're interested in. I just like you, businesses are difficult and you have to wake up and push them forward on a daily basis. If you don't, your business is going to die.
Right. And so, if you don't like it, want it, use it,
you're not going to
put a lot of effort into it.
Right. But I, you know, look, I've seen the other side. I still to this day have never seen a 3D printer, and I built and sold that business. when my buddy brought me in on composting toilets, I've never seen a composting toilet either, nor did I care about tiny houses that we pivoted into. In fact, I'm a big dude. I don't want to live in a tiny, this office feels small right now, right? Like, and so you can do this. You just have to get passionate about the marketing, about the customer service, and understand that this is just one big game, and you can get better at the game, which will, you know, then lead you to have skills so that you have level 10 skills. And maybe that was a level 2 opportunity, but if you can have level 10 skills after doing some things in a level 2 opportunity, then you can, you know, take a step back and realize, oh, maybe there's a better one over here. That's a better opportunity for me with better margins, or in an industry I want to work in, or with people I want to work with.
Right. Now, do you ever come across companies where you say, hey, we would like to sell for you, and they say, okay, it's got to be exclusive?
I have had that happen, and I know I certainly have some students that did. The one time it happened for me was with a, I want to say it was a 3D printer supplier who was overseas. And so they wanted me to be exclusive, and it actually shifted. So it shifted from me being the exclusive retailer in the United States to now I am the distributor in the United States. So they gave me, I'm making these numbers up, but it was roughly like they gave me 25% margins. And then when they said you can be the distributor, they gave me 50%. And then I gave my competitors 25%. And so I was shipping for them and kind of double dipping on the deal. And so it worked out that way. That's my only experience. And I know some of my students have definitely had those deals as well.
Right, right. You know, and the important thing is if you have agreed to exclusivity, you better stick with it. You know, and don't try to, you know, because they're going to go check out your website. And if say you have said, hey, we're only going to sell Weber grills, and then you've got other grills on there, they are not going to be happy.
Yeah. So I was looking at exclusive in a different light. I was looking at it as like, we are the only ones who can sell this.
Oh, okay. Now, so not product. You were thinking of the other end. Okay.
I have had one brand say we're the best out there. And if you're going to sell us, you can't sell anyone else. I think that's really silly, first off, for them and for me. Wouldn't they want people to compare? They were worried their prices were higher, but if they're
the best, product, then it's not going to matter, right?
If they're the best, I'm going to position them that way. I will say I I've been on their case for a year and a half, and I haven't broken through. So I actually went around them and I reached out. I searched their product, and there's a Boolean you can do on Google and just like search that product inside of Shopify sites or inside e-commerce site within a collection. So it only showed me all the Shopify sites that were selling that product. And I went one by one by one until I found one that was clearly kind of neglected. And I found the owner. I reached out to the owner and I said, hey, if I will offer you X if you can go to this brand and say they want my grandfathered status where you can sell other products. And it worked out. The company said yes. This person said yes. And I'm in the process of closing that deal now so I can kind of skirt around this exclusivity thing because I think it's silly. There's are other brands in that space that make sense. But again, this is just like fun stuff you get to do in business. It's all problem solving. And so for me, this was, you know, it took a year and a half, but it's been a fun problem to solve.
You know, and I want to get back to the numbers, you know, between the low cost and the high ticket items, because, you know, the first instinct anybody has is they want to sell as much as possible. You know, so they always think quantity, you know, and I love it when you break down the numbers and say, okay, you can sell 1,000 or you can sell 10. You know, and which really do you want to do? And but then that really just goes to show that you absolutely have to have your marketing targeted because, you know, you have to reach those 10 people with whatever it is, you know, however you're going to reach them. You know, and of course, you know, I'm old school marketing and, you know, I'm used to, you know, direct mail and, you know, paid advertising on media, you know, TV, newspapers, all of those various things. And, you know, we always knew here was how we could reach people, you know, and we only went to those areas. I mean, you know, it's it really comes back to absolutely knowing who it is that you want to sell to.
Yeah. In this business model, there is a very specific way to market. So if you've ever run Google Ads before, or recently, you're aware that they are pushing their smart programs on you. And for good reason. Like, I'll tell you a quick story, Deb. So there was this company in Europe who created an AI that was learning the game Chinese Go, which is the hardest board game in the world. There's like a million moves every time you have a move. They built a computer and they put it up against the best in the world who laughed and thought this wasn't going to win. The computer beat the best in the world 100 games to nothing.
Wow.
Then they were like, okay, cool. We have a computer that's great at Chinese Go. What do we do now? So they said, how about we create a new computer, give it the learning capability, but don't teach it Chinese Go and just put it in a room, if you will, with the other computer. And within a month, the new computer had learned it better than the old computer who was programmed to learn it and beat that computer 100 games to nothing. Google said, wow, that's very interesting. And they bought the company and that became their learning technology for Google. That became their AI. So for the longest time, their programs that they've had inside of Google Shopping haven't worked or in text ads. Some of it started to work over the last couple of years. And now they're really pushing their Performance Max and their Smart Shopping. And honestly, I sell low ticket items. I have a pet brand called Paramount Pet Health where we sell glucosamine and vitamins. It works good on low ticket products. It really does. It does not work on high ticket products. And so most people who are going to try to wing this are going to go to Google, do what Google tells them to do, because Google's pushing it really hard when you sign up.
And they're Google. They know everything.
And they man, does it look like they know everything when they send you emails and everything too, but this doesn't work. And you're going to waste a lot of money. And so there is a very specific way to set this up. I'll give you the highest level of highest level. There is a priority function in Google Shopping. So you can set up basically three of the same type of ads, right? The same exact thing, but one will have high priority, one will have medium priority, one will have low. Everything has to go to high, right? Because it's high priority. All the keywords have to go in here. And then as you tell Google, hey, don't show this keyword anymore, the only place it can go now is to medium where you're bidding more. So you can isolate a couple keywords like infrared sauna. You might not want to show up for more than like 5 cents, 10 cents. Cause that's somebody just wondering what an infrared sauna is. But if somebody's searching a brand like Sunray saunas, you might want that to show up.
And when they're drilling down, that's what you want.
Right. And then you could exclude even further. So you can say, I'll pay 5 cents for infrared sauna type keywords. If they're searching a brand involved Sunray saunas, I'll pay a dollar per click. And then if they're searching the Sunray Baldwin 200 XT, whatever, right? Like the exact model, I'll exclude that again and push it down to low priority. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little confusing and definitely a little confusing.
Right. It's counterintuitive, but that's how it works.
Right. But at that point, you can isolate the keywords you actually want to show up for and pay less for the mm-hmm. high, you know, top of funnel. I like to think of it as top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom mm-hmm. of funnel. And you're just not going to pay that much for someone searching infrared sauna, but you're definitely mm-hmm. willing to. If someone's searching an exact product mm-hmm. name, they're very interested. Or if they're comparing two different products mm-hmm. or comparing two brands, mm-hmm. they're much further down the funnel than somebody mm-hmm. searching just infrared sauna.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that makes sense because, you know, we see this, say, on television advertising all the time where it is such a broad reach that, you know, you might get a couple people who are interested, but the more they go down, the more you know they really are interested in that. You know, and I always laugh when I'm watching TV and I'm like, I'm not quite sure what they thought their target market was, but I don't think they're watching this program. You know, like say it's, you know, like a BBC and all of a sudden a thing for kids cereal shows up. Yeah, you know, that's probably not, you know, and but yeah, it's figuring out how to do that to, again, get the most bang for your buck. You know, I always tell people, you know, do you want to hit the target or do you want to have a shotgun that may or may not hit anything?
And the beauty of this is you're literally picking the keywords, right? This mm-hmm. is different. We went back to demand capture versus demand generation. Mm-hmm. When you're selling those low ticket products and trying to interrupt someone on Facebook, you have mm-hmm. no idea. You can set some interest targeting, right? Or age mm-hmm. grouping or sex or things like that.
Right.
But this is literally using keywords that people are going to Google mm-hmm. and searching. And Google gives you all of this data. It tells mm-hmm. you what people are searching. And so right. you can simply insert those words into the right mm-hmm. place of the funnel and pay mm-hmm. what you're going to pay. Beyond that, that's how you're going to get your first customers. Beyond that, search engine optimization, which is like how you get your pages to show mm-hmm. up organically in Google and not pay for them, mm-hmm. is going to be the biggest driver of your business. Mm-hmm. And again, that comes down to keywords too. Just putting the right keywords on the mm-hmm. right pages. Google gives you the entire playbook of how to optimize this. It is a lot of checklist of like, mm-hmm. you know, optimizing your images and your mm-hmm. title tags. And there's a lot to do there, but Google gives you the playbook. And if you can right. just follow that playbook, mm-hmm. you're going to do pretty well,
right.
Especially in e-commerce terms, commercial mm-hmm. terms. It's different than, mm-hmm. you know, the top 10, whatever that you're, you know, searching mm-hmm. for on Google and getting random blog posts mm-hmm. sending you to Amazon.
Right. Yeah. You know, and you want to come up on that first page on Google, you know, when somebody is searching, because anymore, I might go to a second page. I don't think I ever go past that anymore. You know, but what I do is I figure out, oh, okay, I didn't see what I wanted, so I didn't have the right terms. So that's where I start drilling down. You know, so I might have typed car. Well, that gets me a whole bunch of stuff. So then blue car. Well, and then gets me, you know, and then, you know, blue four-wheel drive. And so, you know, I'm using those terms to narrow my search. You know, and it's the same concept, you know, you finally get, and so, you know, hopefully you start with somebody who knows, okay, well, we want this, 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 but you know, it's, you get them into that place where, yeah, they are looking for that very specific thing and you're willing to pay to have your stuff shown to them.
Yeah. Honestly, look, America's crazy. When you start running these ads, when you get this started and mm-hmm. you go look at all the search terms, mm-hmm. you'll be shocked at some of the things people search trying mm-hmm. to find what they're looking for.
Right.
You can make some good assumptions, mm-hmm. right? A product name mm-hmm. is a pretty good guess. A brand mm-hmm. name, product name is a pretty good mm-hmm. guess. But I'm telling you right now, I have a good chuckle once a month as we mm-hmm. go through the search terms and I'm like, what was this person even thinking typing in this phrase? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if it's something that they don't know a lot about, you know, so they might call it the wrong thing, you know, and, you know, so the SEO on your website needs to take that into account, you know, if, and I tell people, you know, I work with people on their LinkedIn and I say, you know, don't use terms that are so specific that nobody knows what they are. Especially if say you're in the job market, because the HR person is just kind of looking for generic things. But if you have put something in that's so specific that they're not going to look for it, then you've kind of defeated the purpose. And so there is that fine line that's in there, but you know, there are still times where you think they search for what, you know, and it was because they didn't have the knowledge of what it was called.
Look, and some of this stuff might sound difficult, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that you understand that the investment is small. The learning is the hard part. Like, you're going to learn marketing.
It takes practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to learn along the way. And hopefully you're cash flowing. If you did everything that I talked about, you only invested $500 and Google's giving you some free money to play with. Mm-hmm. So you should make some sales. So you're going to learn, Google Ads, SEO, conversion rate optimization, copywriting, how to do a little bit of coding in the back end. You're going to know how to do all this stuff while you're making money. And if you just didn't get everything today, like that's why John and I put out so much free content. Like, if you find us on TikTok or YouTube, we also have the Dropship podcast. Like, we're literally giving away as much as we can possibly give away, because we just want to help as many people as possible. And we understand this is hard. And we also, you know, with the rise of gurus, we want to make sure people know that we're legit too. So just know that there's somebody out there who can lead you, you know, lead the horse to water here. If this is confusing to you, go check out our podcast. Go try our free training. And if you really want to jump in, join our course, and you can look over the shoulder of John and I building out real businesses.
You know, and I love this concept, because people, you know, we tell people this all the time, you know, it's okay to give away content. You know, what you're doing is, you know, for the people who are sometimes the looky-loos, right? They're the ones who get the free content. But then their interest is piqued and they're like, oh, okay, but I need, you know, I need to know more, therefore I'm willing to pay for it. You know, so you give away, you know, just enough to get them to the point where they're going, okay, you know, and or they could try it on their own and they might be successful. Who knows? But yeah, there's nothing wrong with giving away free content to show people that you really are the expert.
So I actually go to the extreme here. I think you should give everything away. On your commerce store, you should solve their problem, whether they give you their credit card or not. They don't need your product. They need a solution. And so if your product's part of the solution, great, but like, solve their problem. Same with John and I. If we give everything away for free, and some people are going to sign up because they want to have a step-by-step guide. Other people might start on their own. We have one student who he's doing incredibly well. I just spoke to him yesterday. He's never bought any of our stuff, but he listens to everything we put out and he started on his own. He has his own business. Like, that, to me, that's amazing. Like, good for that person. His name's Sumanth. If you're listening to this, congratulations, Sumanth. Like, the fact that anyone can start based on our free information, that, like, e-commerce changed my life. And if I can change yours and it's through free stuff, I don't care. Like, I just want people to have the breakthroughs in their life, to live a life that they truly demand of themselves, that they deserve. And if I can help that through free or paid methods, I don't care. So literally, if you go to Dropship Podcast and start at episode one, you will be addicted and you will learn the entire business model in its entirety. I don't know. I'm just thankful to be able to teach this stuff and that e-commerce touched me enough that I can help touch other people.
I love it. I love it. You know, and yeah, sharing knowledge is the best thing. You know, and knowing that people are learning and becoming successful, that's when it's great. You know, to do that. Well, I want to be very specific now. So, what is your website and what are the services that you provide?
Yeah, so dropshippodcast.com is where you can find our podcast or on YouTube or any of your favorite players. And then our course is located at dropshipbreakthrough.com, as well as a free training on that site too, if you want to learn that. John and I also have a Facebook group called the Dropship Tribe with a couple thousand members in there as well. And so, yeah, we'd just love to invite you into our community and, and start intaking all of this content. And I think you'll see very quickly that literally John and I are giving this all away. And so we'd love to have you come join us.
So how does somebody contact you directly?
Yeah, you can find me at benkenagendorf.com. I don't do too much over there anymore. And then I also have a podcast that I hope is coming back. I launched the BK show, ran it for about a year, and then my son was born. I was going to take a year off to spend with my son. I'm glad I did, but it's time to come back. And that one is less so about high-ticket dropshipping and more through my journey of self-development and entrepreneurship and going to conferences and going to masterminds. I met so many people doing the most unique things and living the life of their dreams, whether they're making $1 million or whether they're making $80,000 a year, but doing what they love. Like, I could listen to those stories all day long. And so I just wanted to share as many as I could. So you can find that at thebkshow.com or look that up as well. But yeah, on Twitter is usually the place I hang out. I kind of neglect the other socials. So at Ben Kenegendorf on Twitter as well.
Perfect. I love it. Well, you know, this has been so much fun. And like I said, I knew nothing about this. And so this has been very interesting. You know, and would love to have you on again to talk about it some more, because I think there's obviously a big benefit to people, especially because if they do it right, they can do it for not a big investment and it can turn into something very, very big. You know, and so that's good. And it's legit, folks. This is, you're not going, you know, you're not cheating the IRS. You're not doing all these other things. You know, and so this is, you know, what you want to do. But until we have you on again, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
Yeah, you know, I get asked this a lot, and I tend to lean back to the same thing, which is just start. Whatever it is like you have in your head, whether it's doing what I just talked to you about or some other thing, just go. You're going to learn everything along the way, and you're not going to learn any of it sitting there ingesting content or ingesting information. You're going to learn way more through the doing. So just start. And if it's the typical thoughts that are in your head of, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not worthy, what if I fail, what if this doesn't work, I promise you, those thoughts, while they get weaker in sound in volume in your head over time, they never go away. Even where I'm at right now, they're there every single day. Through this process, I've learned tools to work past that. But the only way you can get through those things is through it. There's no way to go around the thoughts that are in your head. You have to go right through them. Just like a kid, you know, I learned a lot from raising children, is like watching them ride that bike. Just, there's no way around riding the bike. And our twins wanted to quit many, many times, but you got to get back up. You got to keep going. And so that's the same thing in business. If you can minimize the angst around starting, if you can minimize the worry and just realize that it's just a thing, it's just a hobby you're going to go do. Like, if you wanted to pick up golfing, would you, oh my God, what if I'm not good at golf? Of course you're not good at golf. You've never golfed before, right? Like, business is the exact same way. So if you can just minimize all of the BS that's going on in your head and realize you're just going to go try something, and maybe you lose a couple $100, but you probably lost a couple $100 elsewhere or spent it at the grocery store on things you shouldn't be eating, or like, who knows? Like, who cares? Just go experiment, go have fun, and realize it's just a game. And the moment you can kind of gamify it in your head and get started, you'll start having these real lessons in, like, oh, don't do this, I should do that, or this works and this doesn't work, and wow, that feeling feels good, or this feeling doesn't feel good, right? It's just like everything else in life. And so if there's one person listening to this who takes action, I've done my job today.
Perfect. I love it. Well, as I said, I can't wait to have you on again. But until then, I'm Deb Creer. I've been having a great conversation with Ben Kniggendorf of Dropship Breakthrough. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.